New trade frameworks, European economic divergence, and markets that don't care about borders. Welcome to the Transatlantic Trading Week that will define October's start. We're breaking down what the US-EU dynamics mean for your ESNQ-YM futures right now on the Sunday roll-up. I do apologize, I'm working on the visual format, but I figured I'd just get my thoughts out in an audio format, at least in the meantime. Hello and welcome, traders. I'm Johnny Dankseed, and this is the Sunday Roll-Up, your weekly professional grade preview for the futures and indices markets. We've got a critical transatlantic week ahead where U.S. economic data meets European momentum and new trade realities. We'll recap the September surge through a global lens and break down every major economic release, analyze what the U.S.-EU trade developments tell us about the market direction, and answer your questions. So let's roll up this analysis and get started. Starting with the week behind, it was a classic case of market mixed signals with an international flavor. Despite a rocky end to the week, the S&P 500 managed to close the period up for September, so far potentially breaking what's historically been a tough month for markets. The real story was in the sectors, while defensive plays like healthcare and consumer staples lagged, risk-on sectors like technology and communication services led the charge. This tells us that beneath the surface, there's still a healthy risk appetite among institutional players. On the policy front, the market largely shrugged off the latest rounds of tariffs announced on Friday, including 25% on heavy trucks and a whopping 100% on certain imported pharmaceuticals. More significantly, we saw the finalization of major US-EU trade framework that sets the new terms for industrial and agricultural trade, a development we'll dig into deeper later. Where does this leave us? The S&P 500 managed to finish the week on a positive note on Friday, though it still closed down for the overall week. This sets up a crucial test of whether we can maintain the September strength as we head into a data-heavy new period with strong transatlantic current undercurrents. The week ahead, we're going to roll into this, and it's going to be one of those weeks where if you're not paying attention to the economic calendar, you're essentially trading somewhat blindfolded, and we need to watch both sides of the Atlantic. Let me break down the key releases that will move your ESNQ and YM contracts. Friday gave us a core PCE inflation data, which just came in line with expectations. This is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, and while it's not accelerating, it's not decelerating either, reinforcing the higher for longer narrative. Tuesday brings consumer confidence and jolts job openings. Watch the consumer confidence closely. If it shows consumers are getting nervous, that could signal trouble for the retail sector and broader economy. Wednesday, it's all about manufacturing and ISM manufacturing PMI. The forecast is grim, well into the contraction territory. A number this week, a number that is weak this week, could spark a recession fears and hit the industrial heavy Dow Jones futures. And then Thursday, we have initial jobless claims, and the actual came in higher than expected. This suggests the labor market might be finally cooling, which paradoxically could be good for the markets if it means that the Fed has room to cut rates. The week culminates with Friday's employment situation report. The numbers missed expectations, and unemployment ticked up 4.6%. This confirms a softening labor market and significantly raises the odds of Fed rate cuts. Now, for key levels to watch, I would very cautiously say that we should still be approaching this from a very intraday type of trading scenario. We did see this last week, and this was shared in the Discord. There is obviously still major whale positioning going on. We did for part of the week see the big bear whales move in at a key level of 6600 in SPX. Currently, that's actually based, last I checked on options, it's changed now. It's back up to 7,000. So that would be, I guess you could call it the upper level of resistance for now. Moving forward into that, my outlook for this week is cautiously optimistic with a modest grind higher, but with a high volatility around these economic releases. The weaker jobs data has likely sealed the case for the Fed pivot, which markets should welcome. Moving on to what I would say is like earnings or any market bellwethers that we should watch. This week is going to be light on mega cap tech earnings, but it's incredibly heavy on transatlantic economic signals. We're focusing on big picture now, which is the US-EU trade deals, European economic data is also going to influence our futures trades. First, let's talk about the new US-EU framework agreement. This isn't just a political headline, it's got real teeth for market sectors. The EU is eliminating all tariffs on all US industrial goods and giving preferential access for key US agricultural exports. In return, the US is adjusting its Section 232 tariffs, notably on European automobiles and auto parts. For the futures trader, the reason we should care is US industrials and agriculture, easier access to massive consumer market is a tailwind for US industrial agricultural exporters, which are bigger components of the S&P and the Dow. European auto sector in the euro. This provides relief and clarity for European auto industry and a stronger outlook for key European sector. Good feed into Euro Stoxx 50 futures and potentially strengthen the euro, which has knock-on effects on the US multinational earnings and the dollar. To analyze a lot of the sustainability and momentum in this is, it's a little hard right now because we do have certain trends that start forming. But shifting into real-time economic data from Europe, last week's PMI numbers gave us a mixed but telling picture. The Eurozone composite PMI hit a 16-month high, driven by surprisingly strong services activity. However, the UK's PMI fell sharply from its 12-month high, with manufacturing contracting at the fastest rate since March. This kind of creates like a divergence. Strength in the Eurozone economy is a positive signal for global growth and by extension US companies with heavy European exposure, but the UK's slowdown potentially linked to the auto sector disruptions is a reminder of how fragile and interconnected the nature of our global supply chain is. The takeaway from all this, the most important bellwethers aren't single companies, but entire economies and trade relationships. Watch for sector rotation in the ES towards industrials, and keep an eye on Euro stocks and currency markets for confirmation that these catalysts are having, I guess, what you could call a real market impact. And the last part I'm going to focus on right now is, again, I always want to welcome questions. By no means, and I think I know it all, but if I do know the answer, I will definitely try to help you, and if not, I'll try to point you at least in the right direction. One of the questions I've been asked a lot recently is how do you manage risk on overnight positions, especially during data-heavy weeks like this one? And to be quite honest and brazen, I don't like trading Globex often. Most of the time, I'll only set alerts around like key levels that maybe I've been watching that are like at a more multiple day levels or weekly levels. So unless that's happening, I usually stay out of Globex a lot of the time. If you are going to trade Globex, just from my personal experience, what I've seen that helps me is basically you could break it down like into three steps, which is first, size appropriately. Your overnight positions should be smaller than your day trades, I feel. That's just me for my position and what's worked for me. But, obviously some people out there want to do Globex more aggressively. And, that's certainly if it works for you, it works for you, right? Second, some people like using options as insurance, right? Especially if you're going to be, think of paying the premium for the options is going to be like hedging against the overnight news or European market moves, right? That might gap the US open. And the third one is setting alerts instead of not just stops. Like still have your stops, obviously, but set alerts also. Stops can get run in overnight sessions. Other than that, you also want to have alerts set at like when the market's approaching whatever your pain point might be in your portfolio or for your trade. And remember, the goal isn't to avoid overnight risk completely, but to manage it in a way that lets you participate still and potentially grab the gaps that are in your favor while protecting you from any catastrophic moves. And I think that's basically going to roll up this week's analysis where watching historical seasonal trends, navigating a minefield of economic data, and tracking this transatlantic trade developments for economic clues. The weaker jobs data has likely locked in a Fed pivot, creating a favorable backdrop, but I'd still expect volatility around each data point and keep one eye on the European markets for a little bit. As always, I welcome any questions. I'm going to open up a specific session of the Discord and I'll follow up as I can. Thanks all for this week. Thank you for participating and being part of the Discord as well. And if you're not part of the Discord and you somehow are listening to this on the website or anywhere else, then feel free to join us. The links are all over our website, dankseed.tech. And I'm Johnny Dankseed, TradeSafe, manage your risk, and I'll see you in the markets.